Topic 71. The Hierarchy. 1. This hierarchy of forces has four preeminent lines of work. A. To develop self-consciousness in all beings. B. To develop consciousness in the three lower kingdoms. As is well known, the five kingdoms of nature on the evolutionary arc might be defined as follows: the mineral kingdom, the vegetable kingdom, the animal kingdom, the human kingdom, and the spiritual kingdom. All these kingdoms embody some type of consciousness, and it is the work of the hierarchy to develop these types to perfection through the adjustment of karma, through the agency of force, and through the providing of right conditions. C. To transmit the will of the planetary logos. They act as the transmitter to men and devas, or angels, of the will of the planetary logos, and through him, of the solar logos. D. To set an example to humanity. This hierarchy is composed of those who have triumphed over matter, and who have achieved the goal by the very self-same steps that individuals tread today. These spiritual personalities, these adepts and masters, have wrestled and fought for victory and mastery upon the physical plane, and struggled with the miasmas, the fogs, the dangers, the troubles, the sorrows and pains of everyday living. They have trodden every step of the path of suffering, have undergone every experience, have surmounted every difficulty, and have won out. Their apprehension of the freedom that comes through the sacrifice of the form by the medium of the purifying fires suffices to give them a firm hand, an ability to persist even when the form may seem to have undergone a sufficiency of suffering, and a love that triumphs over all setbacks, for it is founded on patience and experience. These elder brothers of humanity are characterized by a love that endures and which acts ever for the good of the group, by a knowledge that has been gained through a millennia of lives in which they have worked their way from the bottom of life and of evolution well nigh to the top, by an experience which is based on time itself and a multiplicity of personality reactions and interactions, by a courage which is a result of that experience and which, having itself been produced by ages of endeavor, failure, and renewed endeavor, and having in the long run led to triumph, can now be placed at the service of the race, by a purpose which is enlightened and intelligent, and which is cooperative, adjusting itself to the group and hierarchical plan, and thus fitting in with the purpose of the planetary logos. From Initiation, Human and Solar, pages 20 through 25. 2. This hierarchy of brothers of light still exists, and the work goes steadily on. They are all in physical existence, either in dense physical bodies, such as many of the masters employ, or in etheric bodies, such as the more exalted helpers and the Lord of the World occupy. It is of value for men to remember that they are in physical existence, and to bear in mind that they exist upon this planet with us, controlling its destinies, guiding its affairs, and leading all its evolutions on to an ultimate perfection. From Initiation, Human and Solar, page 32. 3. The central home of this hierarchy is at Shambhala, a center in the Gobi Desert, called in the ancient books the White Island. It exists in etheric matter, and when the race of men on earth have developed etheric vision, its location will be recognized and its reality admitted. The development of vision is rapidly coming to pass, but the location of Shambhala will be one of the last etheric sacred spots to be revealed, as it exists in the matter of the second ether. Several of the masters in physical bodies dwell in the Himalaya mountains, in a secluded spot called Shigatse, far from the ways of men, but the greater number are scattered all over the world, dwelling in different places in the various nations, unrecognized and unknown, yet forming each in his own place a focal point for the energy of the Lord of the world, and proving to his environment a distributor of the love and wisdom of the deity. From Initiation, Human and Solar, page 33. 4. The entire planetary hierarchy, though cognizant of the present endeavor and therefore participating in the plans of the Council, are not all occupied with the problem of humanity in this present moment of crisis. There are many other lines of activity and of evolutionary expediency and undertaking which must parallel the present endeavor. Work in relation to other kingdoms in nature, both subhuman and superhuman, and work in preparation for the period which must succeed this present time of crisis must be continued as usual. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 716. 5. The spiritual hierarchy cannot work through people whose tongues are critical, whose ideas and attitudes are separative, and who are violently partisan in their beliefs and comments. This is a statement of fact. I seek to have you train yourselves in such right activity, beginning with your own lives and your personal expression in the world. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 2, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 748. 6. The hierarchy works only with the spiritual nature or with the soul of humanity, and to the master, the form is regarded as relatively of no importance. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 4, Esoteric Healing, page 661. The fact of the hierarchy is to many thinkers an established fact. The hypothesis that there may be a hierarchy is a widespread recognition. Information concerning its grades, its modes of working, and its objectives are now common property. Much has been accepted and much provided by those who believe this teaching. I would like to spend a moment studying some of the effects of this steadily growing fund of knowledge. It has become the possession of the many, and not only of the rare and discreet esotericist and occult student. This teaching has now seeped down into the consciousness of the masses, and is there producing curiosity, relief and hope, speculation, and cynical laughter, conscious spiritual effort, or sustained ridicule, according to the type of mind, the sensitivity to truth, or the crass credulity of the recipient. But the knowledge, belief, and hope in the existence of a planetary hierarchy has today leavened the entire mass of human thinking in a far wider and deeper manner than perhaps the most optimistic suspect. Herein lies the hope of the world, and here is to be found also a fertile field for spiritual work during the coming decades. For this all disciples must prepare. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 133. This is a continuation of Topic 71, The Hierarchy. 8. No disciple or aspirant can be drawn into the periphery of the hierarchy and from thence into an ashram without finding that his will nature is being affected. It will only show itself at this stage as persistence and determination. Persistence is a quality of life and related to immortality, while determination is the lowest aspect of the will. Their development produces a reorientation which becomes a permanent attitude. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 377. 9. The points I want you to bear in mind are as follows. 1. The great ashram, the hierarchy, is composed of many ashrams, creating an invoking area of relationship for Sanat Kumara. 2. The Christ, aided by the Manu and the Maha Chohan, is the coordinator of the entire life of the great ashram. 3. The personnel of the great ashram is today entirely provided from the ranks of humanity. This was not so in the earlier cycles. 4. The great ashram is formed of 7 major ashrams and 42 secondary ashrams which are gradually forming. 5. The entire ashram is a unity, for the ashramic life in its differentiated groups is guarded by a ring pass knot. 6. This ring pass knot is provided by radiation. 7. The 42 lesser ashrams are held together by the magnetic interplay of the whole. 8. Aspirants are drawn into relation with the ashram through its radiation and enter finally into its magnetic field. 9. There is a dual flow of energy or force into the great ashram. A. Energizing life from Shambhala, or what is called unfettered enlightenment. B. The energy of active intelligence from humanity, thus enabling the masters to formulate the plan. 10. The 7 ashrams are all concerned with the plan. 11. The Master Maurya is the head of all the esoteric schools which truly prepare an aspirant for ashramic contact and work. The reason that a first-ray master is thus the head is because it is the will aspect which is developed within the ashram. 12. It is the service of the plan which binds the 7 ashrams with their subsidiary ashrams into the one great ashram. 13. It is only within his ray ashram that the will of the disciple is developed. 14. The magnetic, dynamic energy of the first aspect of divinity is found at the heart of each of the 7 ashrams, fed from a reservoir of will energy, which is found at the heart of the great ashram itself. 15. The 42 subsidiary ashrams are energized by the reservoir of will energy found at the heart of each of the major ashrams. 16. The 7 ashrams express each of the quality of their ray, one of the 7 ray types. If you will have these points in mind, the whole hierarchical theme will be recognized and correctly interpreted by you. From A Treatise on the 7 Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 379 through 380. 10. The fact of the existence of the hierarchy and its supreme head, the Christ, is consciously recognized by hundreds of thousands today, though still denied by the Orthodox. So many know this truth, and so many people of integrity and worth are cooperating consciously with the members of the hierarchy that ecclesiastical antagonisms and the belittling comments of the concrete-minded are of no avail. Men are moving out from under doctrinal authority into direct, personal, and spiritual experience. They are coming under the direct authority which contact with the Christ and his disciples, the Masters, ever confers. From The Problems of Humanity, page 145. 11. For millions of years, the hierarchy has stood in silence behind world events, occupied with the following work, work which will eventually be carried on exoterically instead of esoterically. 1. The hierarchy stands as a wall between humanity and excessive evil. Forget not that as humanity is thus protected, that protection extends to all the subhuman kingdoms, of which the fourth kingdom, the human, is the macrocosm. The excessive evil emanating from cosmic sources requires the trained skill of the hierarchy and the fiat of Shambhala to prevent it flooding over disastrously. 2. The hierarchy works constantly at the task of awakening the consciousness aspect in all forms, so that it is awakened, expanded, and intelligently employed. 3. The hierarchy directs world events as far as mankind will permit, for the free will and free decision of mankind may not be ignored, so that the unfolding consciousness may express itself through developing and adequate social, political, religious, and economic world forms. They give direction, They throw light. They impress those who are in contact with them. And through the inflow of ideas and through revelation, they definitely influence the tide of human affairs. 4. The hierarchy directs and controls more than is realized the unfolding cyclic cultures and their resultant civilizations. These can then provide adequate forms, temporarily useful for the emerging soul of humanity. The format of cultures and civilizations receives special attention. 5. The hierarchy receives and transmits energies and consequent forces from Shambhala, with resultant effects within the hierarchy itself, and also with effects upon humanity and upon the soul of all things to be found in all kingdoms. 6. The hierarchy receives that esoteric fire of God, which brings to an end cycles, ideologies, organizations, and civilizations when the due and right time comes. This they do in order to make place for that which is better and which will provide adequate and not limiting to the awakening consciousness and the emerging life. 7. The hierarchy prepares men for initiation by A. receiving them into the ashrams of the masters, B. offering their disciples opportunity to serve in relation to the emerging plan, C. inaugurating through the means of disciples of the period those new presentations of the training needed for initiation. Each major cycle receives new forms of the same ancient yet basic teaching. This present one is such a cycle, and much of my own work is in connection with this. From the Externalization of the Hierarchy, pages 519 through 520. 12. Roman numeral 1. First Planetary Center, Shambhala. Working through 1. The seven rays or the seven spirits before the throne. 2. Certain great intermediaries. 3. The Council Chamber of the Lord of the World. Roman numeral 2, Second Planetary Center, Hierarchy, Working Through, 1. The seven major Chohans and their ashrams. 2. The 49 masters of the secondary ashrams. 3. The sum total of the secondary ashrams. Roman numeral 3, Third Planetary Center, Humanity, Working Through, 1. Disciples in manifestation of the seven ray types. 2. The new group of world servers. 3. The sum total of humanitarians, educators, and men of goodwill. This is but a rough picture and one which is not totally correct. It will, however, show you certain direct lines of contact and of relationship which are true, and which will suffice to give you a vague and general idea of the new alignment being set up between the three planetary centers, requiring new adjustments. From the Externalization of the Hierarchy, page 528. 13. The hierarchy is a great fighting body today, fighting for the soul of men, fighting all that blocks the expansion of the human consciousness, fighting all that limits human freedom, I said not license, and fighting to remove those factors and barriers which mitigate against the return of the Christ and the emergence of the hierarchy as a fully functioning body on earth. There is nothing weak, vacillating, sentimental, or neutral in the attitude of the hierarchy. This must be grasped by humanity. And the strength and insight, as well as the love of the hierarchy, must be counted upon. From the Externalization of the Hierarchy, pages 550 through 551. 14. The Brotherhood is a community of souls who are swept by the desire to serve, urged by a spontaneous impulse to love, illumined by one pure light, devotedly fused and blended into groups of serving minds, and energized by one life. Its members are organized to further the plan, which they consciously contact and with which they deliberately cooperate. Those lives who carry out the ideas of the divine mind exist in their graded orders, and with the detail of their groupings we are not concerned, except with the fact that the planetary brotherhood is in telepathic rapport with those who are responsible for the planetary conditions in the solar system, with the Great Council, therefore, at Shambhala. They are also in immediate telepathic rapport with each other. The slowly manifesting powers of the radio and the sensitive workings of the perfecting radio mechanisms and of television are but the response in physical matter of the perfected telepathic powers and television of the minds of the Masters of Wisdom. Forget not that such powers are inherent in all men. The inner group of Masters with whom I am associated work telepathically also with their disciples, and the disciples with each other in lesser degree. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, pages 23 through 24. 15. The hierarchy is essentially the group of the Lord of the World. It is his ashram. From Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, page 685. See also Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, pages 63 through 64.